Now, listen, we're talking about aging in place. We also talked about those Gen Z that want to stay home or move back home, okay? But while we're right here about aging in place, we have to talk about healthcare, all right? And so let's talk about that transportation issue, okay? Somebody living at home may have difficulty finding transportation to run errands or like grocery shopping, and this lack of transportation may also affect going to medical appointments, right? So you have to consider a senior aging in place may benefit, all right, from a provider who comes to the home. Well, that brings me to my guest for the hour, Dr. Carla Parisinato. She's a professor in the Division of Geriatrics in the Department of Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. And she is board certified in internal medicine, geriatrics, and palliative medicine. For over a decade, Dr. Carla has worked in home-based primary care. More recently, she has begun working in hospice, working to rethink how we care for patients with terminal dementia. Dr. Carla has gained national and international recognition for her research on the effects of loneliness on the health of older adults. Her research and advocacy has focused on integration of loneliness assessments in healthcare and evaluation and implementation of community-based programs focused on ameliorating loneliness and isolation in older adults. Please welcome Dr. Carla Parisinato to the Gero Juice.
Good morning, thanks, or good afternoon, good morning. I don't even know what time it is these days. Thanks for having me, Adrian.
It's okay. Listen, we don't know what time it is sometimes, right? Days run
true.
Together, mornings run together. I am infamous for making a Saturday morning seem like a Monday morning. Things run together, so we good, okay?
Sounds good.
But I have to ask you right off the top, you know, geriatrics, that's a special profession that comes from the heart. What led you to geriatrics?
You know, I'd like to say it's the untold secret. People don't know how amazing it actually is. So we need more people going into aging and geriatrics. But, you know, it was actually when I was in medical school, I was doing a surgical rotation and I was realizing that the care that we were giving older adults needed to be different, needed to be better, and we weren't doing that. I loved meeting my older patients. I loved the stories. I loved the wisdom. I loved thinking critically about medicine and health because it changes as we get older. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, much of our medical models is that we treat everyone the same. Sometimes that's good, but sometimes that's actually not good because we need to actually realize that we need to think about aging differently.
Wow. Thank you for that. Now, in your career as a geriatrician, do you feel the needs of older adults have changed over the years? I can say this, you know, from my perspective, been working with older adults close to almost 20 years, and I was in the field doing case management, service coordination, and so much has changed. You know, when I speak about the resources have changed, the availability, the access, but also, you know, our silent generation is not like the baby boomers, all right? Mm-hmm. So now we have silent generation living older, and baby boomers are coming into this aging space as well. So we have so many sub pops of older adults. And so that's why I have to ask you that. Do you feel the needs of older adults have changed? And from your perspective, how?
They absolutely have. And, you know, listening to your show, you are so right in that. One of the things we like to say in geriatrics is that there's heterogeneity in aging, meaning you see one old person, you've seen one old person, because we are all different. Mm-hmm. And I do think that because we are living longer, yes, we saw a little downturn during the pandemic, but we are seeing more people that are developing cognitive impairment. So that is one thing. But I think the resources we see available for people are broader. Mm-hmm. However, as you also said, it is a business these days to be in aging, and you have to be careful because not everyone's going into it because they think, you know, aging is great. Some people are going into it for the money. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean by that is that there's more resources, but we as consumer, as kids, as grandkids, we have to be careful and think about what do I actually need as I get older and being careful not to fall to those ploys. And I think, as you also said, there's diversity in aging in that some people are more tech savvy, some people aren't. Some people want to stay home, some people want to move. So there is so much changing. We could probably talk about this for several hours, Adrienne.
But yes, you are so correct. This could be like a series.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it could break down into like an hour or 2 hours. So yes, you are correct. We could go on it. Everything you said is so true. And now moving on, I want to talk about Sabio Health. You are the co-founder. You are also the chief medical officer working alongside CEO Omar Fernandez, and I'm so excited. I got a chance to meet him in person a few months ago around Christmas. Wonderful person. I want you to tell listeners about Sabio. What is your mission, your model? Who do you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have to start by telling you, Adrienne, that Sabio in Spanish means sage or wise person. I am of Mexican-Italian descent. Omar is Cuban. And from our Latin roots, we thought it so important to really focus on what is important to us as Latin people, which is aging and our community and our family. And that really is at the center of what we do, is that the care that we provide is the care that I want my mother to have who's aging, that Omar wants his parents to have, and it's the kind of care that actually recognizes that older people are important, we have unique needs, and we need to serve you where you are. And what that means, this comes from my work in an academic medical center, where I realized that not everyone has access to expert geriatric care, but everyone deserves to have that care. So we come to you. That means that if you're in rural areas outside of in metro and in primarily the Northeast metro area right now, because that's where we're trying to focus and grow as we expand, is that we get to come to you. You don't have just the 15-minute visit where like it takes you 15 minutes to walk into the room sometimes, and then the doctor's like, you're done. And I'm like, that's not okay.
Right.
So we actually come to you and actually look at you as a whole person. So our mission is really recognizing that there's differences in aging. There's some beautiful parts of aging, and there's some unique perspective, which means that it takes an interdisciplinary approach, which means that it's not just a physician. It may be a community health worker. It may be a social worker. It may be a nurse practitioner and the physician that all help together alongside thinking about who's in the community. Some of the sources you already said to take care of people at home.
Right, right. Big thing. And, you know, I've spoken with you before about, you know, some of the value-based care providers that, you know, to me have saturated the metro area. And so I love how Sabio is on the outskirts and in the rural areas. You know, we talked, myself and another professional talked before about how, you know, rural Georgia or country Georgia, the houses may be a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles apart. And for somebody that wants peace and quiet, that's cool. But think about that, that young adult who has aged into that middle-aged adult who's aging and wants to age in place. That is not a good model sometimes. And, you know, if they are not able to drive anymore, and if the roads are not safe and they can't get to the doctor's appointment, that's where you all are doing amazing work, and by coming to them,
that's,
you know,
exactly,
and in serving them in so many capacities. And, you know, and even shifting from that, talking about social determinants of health, many individuals do not understand how socialization matters as well. So going back to that rural Georgia, the houses are 2, 3, 4, 5 miles apart. You know, who was once your neighbor may not be your neighbor anymore. We have to pay attention to that. They may have had to move out of state or move to go stay with children or grandchildren. So that person that had that village around them, they don't have it anymore. And so, you know, like I mentioned in your bio, you mentioned in your bio that you're an expert on loneliness and socialization, social isolation in older adults. And February is American Heart Health Month. And so I have to ask you this, is there a link between loneliness and heart health? And if so, you know, how does loneliness or social isolation affect a senior's heart health?
Oh my goodness, so much packed in here, and you're absolutely right. And I think there was something you said that was really important, is that, you know, for some people who want to live in more rural areas and like that solitude, there's a difference between when it's a choice versus when it's not desired. So when you are alone but don't want to be alone, that's when you feel lonely, right? And that loneliness is distressing. And when we're distressed, distress means we're stressed. What does stress do in our body? It causes inflammation. What does inflammation do? It affects our heart. So it is not, you know, there's truth to the saying about lonely, broken hearts and what that does in terms of death. And so loneliness and isolation, both separately and together, have dramatic effects on our health. And one of those being absolutely cardiovascular or heart health. Time and time again, studies are done and repeated and show if you are lonely and isolated, you have an increased risk of death, an increased risk of all-cause mortality, so from any cause, but specifically about hearts too. So it's not insignificant, Adrienne. It's a big deal.
Wow. Oh my goodness. And see, that we could go on about that as well.
Yes, we could.
And I don't think people understand how socialization is so crucial, you know, not even just for older adults, but for everybody. And I have to put myself on the chopping block here. Sometimes I get so caught up in work from home, and it can cause me to be isolated for like 2 or 3 days from people. So sometimes I will leave on purpose to go to the store to just get anything.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Adrienne. That's so important. You know, when my father died, and my mom was left alone, you know, I used to, you know, my sister and I, being younger, thought, oh, we'll just automate everything and have everything be delivered to our house. And she was like, no, thank you. I actually want to go out and talk to people and go to the stores that knew your dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I appreciate you saying that, Adrienne. I think I have to do the same thing, is that in the same way we make an effort to go to the gym or exercise, we need to make an effort to socialize, because it's just as important to our health.
Yes, absolutely true. Now, listen, in the Sabio model, how are you supporting those patients who are lonely or experience social isolation?
Yeah, sure. So first, at its core, one, we're coming to you. So very often, some of the people that we're seeing are isolated by definition of where they live and not having a lot of supports around them. So that's one of the first things. Mm-hmm. The second part is that, you know, I can't study this and not actually practice this. What that means is that when I'm doing a comprehensive health assessment, it actually means that I'm asking you about your isolation and loneliness, and together we're working on what's going to matter for you. Mm-hmm. People often want to know, what is the one answer? I'm like, you know what? There's not one answer, because what makes me lonely or what makes me isolated may be different from you. Right. In the same way that how I treat your high blood pressure might be different.
Right.
And so I think the point of this is that we strongly believe in all social determinants of health impacting our health, one of them being loneliness and isolation, which means that I included as my plan.
Right.
When I'm assessing someone, because I know it's important to your health.
Absolutely. And then moving on to palliative care, and that's a broad topic. So, you know, you're going to have to come back.
Sounds good.
It's just a broad topic. But, you know, how should we know the things surrounding palliative care and hospice care, but how should end of life care be different for terminal dementia patients?
Yeah, this is a really good point, because I think I'll give a brief answer, because as you said, this is long. So hospice and terminal care was often thought about for people with cancer, right? That maybe have 6 months to live. What's happening is that we see people with dementia who at different stages, and their life expectancy varies, and it's really hard to know where someone's trajectory is. Mm-hmm. But what we know about people with dementia is that often they do worse in the hospital, they do worse with polypharmacy or multiple medications, so it means taking a unique approach. Often, if we use the general generic palliative care models to take care of people with dementia, we can often do harm by giving medications that can cause more problems. So it's again an approach of what type of dementia does this person have? Is this one that's more sensitive to some of the medications we use for behaviors? What are the goals? Just because someone has dementia doesn't want to mean they want to die tomorrow, but they may not want to go to the hospital. So it's really, again, I keep saying this, Adrienne, but it's an individualized approach, which these days, I think that's what we all want in healthcare, is not be treated like a number, but actually like a person.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Oh my goodness. And so we're closing out your segment, but I can't let you leave without telling listeners where they can find you and how can seniors learn more about Sabio Health.
Absolutely. So for those of you who do go online on your phone or on your computer, Our website is sabio.health, so sabio.health. You can look on there, and then also you can give us a call. Give us a call. We're small right now, which is great, which means you actually talk to Omar and myself directly, which is great. And our number is 678-888-3313. We're expanding and we're excited to be in more communities, but at its core is we want to stay true to geriatric principles. And so we don't want to grow too fast. Doesn't mean we don't want you, but it means Omar might get mad at me, but we want to ensure that we're maintaining our quality and really sticking to the geriatric principles and the geriatric care that I believe we all deserve.
Right. And I appreciate you for that, because it lets, you know, our listeners know, lets seniors know, the families know that you're really investing in the patient and not looking at just growing for numbers.
That is absolutely true. That is right. Absolutely true. Thanks so much, Adrian.
Thank you. All right, family.